So. Well, good morning, guys. This is a topic. It's very large, and I could go on for a couple weeks, but I'll keep it to a couple hours just for you guys. In truth, I'm going to just kind of do an overview and look at some biblical reasons for apologetics, pull some stuff out of the scripture and talk a little bit. With that being said, let's pray real quick, and then we'll jump right into it. Lord, thank you for having all these men here this morning, have the chance for fellowship and a little bit of learning, teaching from your word. Let the Holy Spirit do your will with each of us, that we can receive the message that you would have us receive. And Lord, as this storm comes in, I ask that you keep everybody, both in this congregation and outside of it, safe. Let the damage or any storm impacts be minimal. And Lord, we just thank you for all the gifts you give us day in and day out. Lord, you are good. And that said, amen. So apologetics is something that it's interested me, both in my profession. We tend to stick to the facts. I'm a law enforcement officer. It's a lot of the facts, the points along the way, connecting things. And I've kind of latched on to some different people like Ravi Zacharias, RZIM, Frank Turek, Norman Geisler. And I just picked up a new book, actually, by Dr. Cy Gart, that he was a militant atheist and went on a quest of his life to prove or disprove Christianity and came to the exact opposite conclusion based on the science. Anyway, today we're going to do just kind of a brief overview of apologetics, and we're not going to go into any argumentation or anything like that. I'm going to start right out with a video. It's Frank Pastore, and his background was he was a young baseball player, highly recruited, got one of the biggest contracts of any baseball player at the time. As like a 18-year-old or 19-year-old, he was a pitcher. I think he played for the Reds, and he, in his first time playing, got to relieve his boy idol. So it'd be like somebody growing up watching Tom Brady, and then they get to take over for him in a game. And so he was off to this stellar career. Everything about his life was how to fake it, basically. He was good at baseball. That's what he knew. Everything else was secondary. But he did grow up in a household that, as he describes it, knew how phony Christianity was, but you could use it to your own advantage. Cut to the chase, he throws a pitch, the batter hits it, comes right back, and it smashes his elbow. His career was forever changed from that point on. He went through 4 or 5 years of trials, I mean, trying to rehab, not being what he thought he could be. And it, coincidentally, at the same time, his wife had told him the only people he could hang out with, she gave him a list, were the Christians, because the Christians weren't the ones doing immoral things on away trips. And she said, these are the only guys you can hang out with. So he's surrounded by these Christians, and he's having these significant trials at a young age where he thought his whole purpose in life was to throw baseballs. So we'll jump right into the video, and we'll let him speak for a minute.
So let me take you guys to that moment. That very moment, as I'm moving stuff around on my elbow, like Oreos in a baggie, I know, okay, everything's changed.
So that's his testimony. Is the microphone back on? Can you guys hear that? So that was his testimony He, after that point, went on to be a strong voice for the Lord. He did a lot of things on TV, internet, writing. Recently passed away, but the first scripture I want to jump to is right there if you want to get to it in your Bible or just watch the screen, but 1 Peter 3:15, and it's what Frank just quoted. It's actually where the word apologia first comes to us in the Bible, which is the Greek apologetics. But it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And I put it in bold. It doesn't show up too well on the screen. But that last part, but do this with gentleness and respect. Another translation would be with meekness and love. So I feel that some people think when you hear apologetics, and probably myself initially, I thought, these guys are fantastic. They get on stage and they debate people until they win. And if we just debated everybody to the point we beat them, they'd all be Christians. And then you look back into the scripture and you see that's not what that says. It says be prepared with an answer for the hope that you have in you. Frank just touched on it, but he was asking questions and the people couldn't articulate to him why they believed. Why were they Christians? And that would be a pretty simple question to ask if you were inquiring about Christianity and you saw somebody who had a strong faith and you said, can you tell me why you believe? And in the realm of questions that we could get, it could go from that all the way to like a militant atheist that comes at us pointing their finger and waving their fist and trying to disprove something. And I don't want at the end of this talk to have people think that go out and have an answer for every single thing there is, because sometimes the best answer is, I don't know. Or, let's think about that, let's get back together later. But I want you to see it right there, 1 Peter 3:15, we are commanded to have an answer to everyone who asks, and to give the reason for the hope that's in us, with gentleness and love. Next slide. So real quick, a definition, what is apologetics? From the Greek, apologia, it's a speech in defense or a well-reasoned response. So nowhere in that does it say it's a formal debate or it's picking a fight. It's a well-reasoned response. It's showing people that we think, that we have answers, that we can articulate our thoughts, our belief, our faith. And also the objective reasons and evidence that Christianity is true and the communication of that. And next slide. I like this one a lot. It's from Frank Turek. Many of you know he is an apologist. He co-authored the book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, with Norman Geisler. And he goes and gives speeches. And he was actually recently here at UMaine a couple months ago. He says, Christian apologetics seeks to build bridges to unbelievers by presenting reasons and evidence that Christianity is true, rational, and worthy of belief. So it's building bridges. Another author I like says it's to build a bridge from the head to the heart. I don't think any of us believe that if we give everybody the exact right answers and convince their brain that they will immediately come to Jesus. I think we all would agree it's a heart issue more than a head issue. But when people have legitimate inquiries and questions, when they are truly seeking answers, I think we can help them along that path. As Frank Pastore said, 5 years ago, I was asking these questions and I never got an answer. Until that one guy gave him books and then he read them and then he found answers and then he came to Christ. Maybe he would have sooner. So I like this. It's not Christian apologetics is beating down the unbeliever. It's about building bridges. Another one by C.S. Lewis. And I like this one. I was talking to a friend about youth learning to articulate what they believe or defend some of the simpler questions, which also morph into accusations. And the response to me was how important it was, because the questions will either be asked of them or to them, meaning that people will either come at them to see if they, to challenge them, or they'll come seeking something and look at that person who is a Christian for answers and guidance along the way. Especially if you think of our high school age going into college and the environment that they're going into. The questions are either going to be asked of them or to them. And the best we can do to prepare them will help them along that journey where they're going to be kind of thrown into the gauntlet. But C.S. Lewis says the question is not as a Christian whether you do apologetics or not, but the question is whether you do it well or not. And again, it's all encompassed in that doing it with gentleness and love. You know, it's not the debate. It's not having a formal question and answer. That's not for everybody. Certain people are gifted with that, and they can go into a room of 300 or 3,000, and they can stand there, and they can articulate and take the questions given and respond to them appropriately. That's not me. But I do think it's important when I have a one-on-one or somebody approaches, whether it's a fellow believer already or somebody who's a skeptic or just doesn't know, but if they ask a question, I think it's important to show that we do have thoughts on those subjects, that some of the things that hang people up, we also think about. And about 5 or 6 years ago, I was down to Boston with a coworker and a friend, and he was receiving cancer treatment on his third bout with cancer. And he was, I think he would be about 30 or 31 at the time. And he's hooked up to his machine, and he's been through a difficult situation, having to, from the age of 25 until then, dealing with stuff that younger people don't deal with, typically. Talking to his wife about funeral plans and knowing the timeline that if something goes bad 6 months later, he probably won't be here and all of that. And he opens up and he says to me, well, you believe that cancer is in me because sin is in the world because of Adam and Eve. I had no answer. I didn't have thoughts on it, really. I was pretty young in my faith. I hadn't read anything. I hadn't thought much about it. I had no answer. The door opened, and the door slammed shut. Fast forward to this year, I've tried to reopen the door, and now it's barred and locked, and I still think there's opportunity there, but I often think back to what is the opportunity and the power I could have had at that time by being prepared with some sort of answer. And please don't take this as an equation or a canned response. Well, if I had just known that I could have said this, then he would have thought that, and then he would have been a believer. No, there are many things in there. He's hurting, you know, frustrated, sad, emotional. But he came to a point where he opened the door to somebody he knew believed in Christ, and he asked a question that was legitimate for him, and there was no response, virtually none. There was probably more silence than anything else, and then probably the words, I don't know. So I often think about that, and it's this quote here, to me, it tells me, and I can reaffirm it with my life, that people are going to ask you questions. So will you have a response or not? I mean, you're not going to choose a career path and say, I'm either going to do apologetics or I'm never going to. People are going to approach you. They're going to ask questions. And do you do it well or not? A couple Sundays ago, we saw this with Paul in Athens, right? Anybody that was here remembers. He went and he reasoned with them. I think that's showing that Paul did the same thing that 1 Peter 3:15 is calling us to do, to dialogue with people, to have thoughts on it, show them the way you approach it, hear them out on their thoughts, and to reason with them. And I promise I'm not going to try and do death by PowerPoint here. Usually people say that, and then they've got about 100 slides, and it takes 2 hours. But I've only got 10 slides, and I talked to a friend about it last night, and an hour and a half later, he said, how are you going to condense this to like 15 minutes? But intentionally, I'm going to try and stay away from going down the side roads that the topics we could talk on for a long, long time. And hopefully, maybe in smaller groups or at future men's breakfasts or wherever, we'll get to actually talk about maybe some of that argumentation or different theories, that sort of thing. But today, we're just going to stick to this more simple view of it. But next slide. So in Colossians, we see, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time, and let your speech always be with grace. Big point there. Again, it's not a debate. It's not a fight. Seasoned with salt, the truth, the knowledge coming from the scripture, from your life, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Listening to the Holy Spirit, letting the Lord work through you to speak to that individual person. And when I got into this, looking at scripture, as you guys probably know from studying your own topics, you start finding hundreds and hundreds that you could apply. And so if anybody has those, I encourage you to speak up at the end. We can talk about that sort of thing. I had to just pick a few and try and keep it a little bit brief, but I do like that one, that your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, knowing how you ought to answer each one, listening to the Holy Spirit and being guided, but also having a reasoned response coming from truths you've learned both in the Bible, through your life, through your testimony, that can help you answer each person. Next slide. Oh, sorry about that. I didn't see it changed. I'm going to finish off. I've got two quotes by Ravi Zacharias. And is everybody here familiar with who that is, what he does? I think his international ministry is so profound because if you pay attention to the way he responds, it's always with kindness, gentleness, caring about the individual person. I've watched some, YouTube is great, but it's also a trap. You could spend your whole life just watching other people and seeing what they do. And I've watched some that are really hard debaters and they're going to win every argument. And I watch him and he presents the truth every time with, I mean, a brilliant brain that he's been given to work through questions, but it always sticks out to me that what the biggest thing he does is he treats each individual as being as important as they are. And so it's important to me to remember, we're not picking a fight, we're looking for answers that will break through their coarse resistance and do it in love. If there was nothing else I could leave you with, it would be that. When you're talking to people, to do it in love. We're not picking a fight with them, where we are searching for answers. Frank Pastore said it, the chaplain that was there said, you say you're looking for the truth and you want to believe in the truth. Well, we do too. So we have to be open to the question that's presented to us because it's a real and legitimate question. And we have a belief and knowledge that we can share with that individual asking the question. And if we don't do it in love, with kindness, gentleness, grace, then I would dare say almost none of that message or knowledge will be received by that individual. He also says there, set apart Christ. It's not merely heard but seen, not merely argued but felt. So the way you act is important. They're looking at your life. They're looking at how they feel when you are with them, when you spend time with them, when you talk to them. And the last one here, be humble in heart and wise in response. You are not answering a question, you are answering a questioner. Keep in mind that at the heart of every person that's going to ask you anything or approach you for a discussion is a person with their own experiences. They're at their own place in their journey, and that's who you're addressing. The question is relevant to your discussion, but almost irrelevant when it comes to them as a person coming to Christ and what we are trying to do. I'm going to leave it at that for today. We could go in, I really enjoy this, so I could probably stand up here pretty much all of today and start talking about cosmological arguments or teleological or morality, creation, but I think you guys get my point and where I'm coming from with why this is an important endeavor for all of us as Christians to have that answer as to why we believe what we believe and be willing to spread it to people, to tell them, to not be meek, but to have courage, a heart of love. Let's pray and we'll leave it at that. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to teach, for me personally, to get into the Word, to learn, to pray, to listen to the Spirit, and to be guided by you. Lord, thank you for these men that came out today to hear this. I just ask that your will be done with each person. You know what we need to hear, and you know what we need and what we're thinking about. So Lord, thank you for all of that. In Jesus' name, amen.